All right, our reading is taken from Ephesians chapter number 1, starting at verse number 13. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory." Amen. I want you to turn to somebody. Look them square in the eye. You ain't touching them. You pointing at yourself when you're talking to them. Pointing at yourself and looking them square in the eye. Point at yourself, but look them square in the eye. And say, "Neighbor, I have been marked with the seal." Neighbor, I have been marked with the seal. Amen. We have entitled our message this morning, "I have been marked with the seal." You know, the interesting thing about life, and when we look at where we are in our lives, many of us have progressed from where we have begun. Progress from where you had an outhouse to your own bathroom. Progress to where you have running water and not having to go down to the well. Progress to where now you just go hit a button and switch it from cold to hot. Progress to where you now don't have to wait your turn to get in the hot tub because you just run your shower yourself. Progress from where you walk so much, they called you holy not because of you were, but because of the clothes you had on. Progress to the point that now you don't have to wait in the kitchen for that iron to get hot so mama can comb your hair and do your hair. Progress to where you don't look for the extra bacon grease to put on you on a cold night to take the ash off, but now you go and buy your own Vaseline and lotion. Progressed to where you don't just wait to get the back of the chicken, but eat any piece of the chicken you want. Progressed to the point that where you now turn your nose up to hog moss, chitlins, and pig feet, and wondering when you're going to get some of that pork shoulder. Progressed to where you had to get into bed and fight to get your cover so that you can stay warm. Folk talked about growing up wearing pajamas. You talking about what pajamas? I wore clothes to bed. God has progressed us. But in the progression of what God has done for us, Deacon Booth, some of us have forgotten. Some of us want to forget. Some of us ain't trying to remember from once or from whence we have come. I want you to understand your past is just that, your past. If you didn't have that past, you probably wouldn't have your current situation. And it was your past that motivated you to do better, to be better, and to accomplish the things that others thought you couldn't do. This is what Paul was doing as he's writing to the church in Ephesus. He's taking them back to their humble beginning. And when they first encountered Jesus Christ. You see, Paul needs them to understand you can't forget how you got to where you are. You know, this was really important for Paul in his own life, because he remembered how he persecuted the church and thought he was doing the, oh, somebody gonna work with me. You couldn't tell him he was doing nothing but the right thing until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And through that encounter, he realized something about the God whom we serve. Is that our God shows all of us grace
and mercy. Thank you, Lord.
It also lets us know something. We didn't go looking for God. He came looking. But if you talk to some folk in the church, they think that they're here because this is what they chose to do. So since they chose to do this, it's okay for them to choose who can come and who can't. But I'm here to tell you the truth. Ain't none of us choose to be here. God chose us. He was the furthest thing from our minds. Even when you were kids and they made you go to church when you was a kid, you would just say, when I get 18, I get on my own. Oh, I can't wait, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to hang out all night long. I'm going to drink as much as I want, smoke as much as I want, and whatever I want. So you talk like you're holy now, but you ain't always had them holy thoughts. Hallelujah. Y'all know I'm all wound up because I didn't preach last week. Because y'all ready to go take this journey with me? You see, what I want you to see is that we can't forget how God has given us the progression to where we are right now. What Paul here is talking about and getting the church in Ephesus to do is not forget and to understand why you are where you are and who you are. Because he says here in verse number 13, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth. Key word is when you heard. You know, hearing with the intent of understanding is different than hearing some noise. You see, when you are purposely listening with the intent of gaining information, you're hearing what is being said to you. Let me give you an example. You was about to get a spanking for something you did when you was a kid. Your parents told you not to do it. It was just noise to you because you didn't. Boy, but once they put you in front and they pulled that belt off after you did it, and they're looking and talking at you, you are listening and hearing every single word they are saying. Because you know what's about to happen to you ain't going to feel good. And guess what? I ain't going to do it again because I ain't going to want to have to feel this way again. So you make it your business to. So what is happening here? Is that Paul is letting them know, he says in this verse, that you have to know that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You have to first hear the word of truth. And what the word of truth is, it tells us the truth about who God is. The word of truth also tells us about how the world functions. And the word of truth tells us how we were living in the world that God created for us. And the mistake that was made in the very beginning. Because I had everything I wanted, but I wanted the one thing I couldn't have. And since I went to the one thing I couldn't have, it created a situation where the world, everything on the world, as far as us human beings, started swirling downward rather than swirling upward. We were our own worst enemy. We were in self-destruction mode. We were so toe up from the flow up, we didn't know where the floor was or the ceiling was because we was just so messed up. But what we're seeing is that the word of truth identifies who God is, tells us the truth about God, tells us about the world, and tells us about our current condition in the world. You see, in order for change to come, you first got to be willing to hear the truth. Because if you ain't willing to hear the truth, then nothing else matters. You can't go any further if you don't want to hear the truth. You ever try to tell somebody the truth, they wave their hand at you and walk away? Because they're not willing to hear the You see, now, based on what has occurred, once we understand the word of truth and we hear it, now, what the gospel of salvation is the good news of letting us know that we don't have to stay stuck where we are at that point. Is that I know sin is now causing you to self-destruct. I know your lifestyle is such. You don't know what's going to happen when you wake up in the morning. You don't know if you'll be able to go to sleep that night. You don't know what you're going to have to face when you get up the next day. It's all because you're in self-destruction mode. But God sent his son to pay the price for our sin. To give us an opportunity to get back right with the Father through the actions of the Son. The Son, who was pure and innocent, allowed himself to take on the guilt of the world in order for the world to be saved. That is good news. So since that good news occurred, what happens is that when you are willing to hear the truth from the word and know your current condition, then you realize that where you are, you can't fix it. How many folk are walking around still trying to fix stuff? And as we're walking around trying to fix stuff, we find ourselves making a bigger mess. We ain't getting nothing right. We're getting it all wrong. Because if we could have fixed it, then Jesus had no need of coming. Jesus is the only one that can get it right, keep it right, and allow it to go right. And as long as we try to get in charge and tell the Lord to take a back seat, that's why we are where we are. I am so thankful that when the folk in Ephesus heard the good news, they made a decision, y'all. The decision that they made, y'all, was to believe. If you look at the verse, you got to first what? Hear. What are you hearing? The word of truth. And once you hear the word of truth, which sums up who God is, what's happening in the world, and the current condition of humankind, then once you understand that, you figure like, well, why should something change? Let me tell you, the change has already occurred and you didn't do it. And that's when we hear the good news. That the good news of knowing that I don't have to stay stuck in this. I don't have to stay toe up from the flow up. I don't have to stay lost in the sauce. I don't have to walk around broken and figuring I can't lift my head up anymore. I don't have to walk around in the guilt of what I've done wrong. But when I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, he is the one that washed me and made me whiter than snow. He is the one who took my sin away and removed it from me as far as the east is from the west. He is the one who saw something good in me that I couldn't see in myself, because God is the creator of us. So in us, all of us have an essence of who God is. So what God is just doing is reaching out. And when we receive the good news, it does something to us. It causes us to believe. Not just believe, but believe in him. Believe in who? Jesus Christ. Believe in him being the one who did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Being the one who saw something wrong and he came to be our fixer. Don't you know there's no better mechanic than Jesus? There's no better doctor than Jesus? There's no better lawyer than Jesus? There's no better advocate than Jesus? There's nobody that is better on your side than Jesus? Because he knows you inside out, and still he gave his all for you. When you think about what we were like, what we were doing, and Jesus still came and died for us, I don't know how we could ever come to church and sit down and shut up, because you know some of the stuff you've done. You know some stuff should have took you out of here. You know some stuff should have messed you up. But it hadn't been for Jesus, you would be lost. But when you came to him, he put you right in mind, body, spirit, and soul. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who recognize I didn't do it? It was nobody but nobody. Nobody but Jesus. Now, once the Lord does all this, stick a pin in it. I got to take you somewhere real quick. There are some folk who heard the truth of the word. They heard the gospel of salvation, and they believe. But Reverend Rhodes, they still beating themselves up. You know why? Why the hell did it take me so long to hear it? Here I am, 30-something, 40-something, 50-something, 60-something, 70-something. Hear something. 90-something. Before I heard the word of truth. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, take that Everlast off of you. You know what the Everlast is? Because you know when boxers hit that big punching bag, you know what it says on it? There you go. It says Everlast on the punching bag. They just keep punching. You see, there are too many of us in God's house that are punching ourselves, beating ourselves up because of the fact that, Lord, I'm happy to be here, but why did it take me so long? We beat ourselves up because we took so long to hear. Do you realize? You heard when you were ready. Prior to that, you weren't ready. And even if you came, you wasn't going to be ready. Because you still had so much of yourself invested in sin. And thought you was doing good. Until you realize all that stuff just withered away. And now you're trying to figure out, what do I do now? And that's when you were in a position to hear. So what am I saying to you? Stop beating yourself up. It doesn't matter how long you was out there. What matters is that you're here now. And now that you're here now, I don't care what folk know about you, what you've done. I don't care if you're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 something. It don't matter when you came, but I am glad that you came, because the Lord never gave up on you. Do you understand that we serve a God who does not give up on us? He keeps calling us. He keeps reaching out to us. He keeps wanting us to make the change. And sometimes some of us make the change sooner than others, but stop beating yourself up because you feel that it took you. But I'm thankful that we're all here. And now that we are here, the one thing that we all got to get is this last statement. And this is where we get the sermon heading from. Are you with me now? He says this, check this out. And he and had believed in him, right? Once you believed in him, what happened? Were marked with the seal of the promise. Holy Spirit. Were marked with the seal of the promise. Holy Spirit. Do you realize, my brothers and my sisters, you're marked with a seal? Do you realize what God has done for you? Because what we have to see, and I'm going to say this next verse, and I'm going to put it all together so it all makes sense. Because he says in verse 14, he says, this is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people. God's Holy Spirit cannot go and hang out in garbage. Yeah, garbage hangs out in garbage. But God's Holy Spirit cannot hang out in garbage. So what has to happen is that the Spirit dwells in us once we hear the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and then we what? Believe. Once we believe, then we allow God to come in and clean us up. Because don't you know, can nobody clean your house like the Lord? When God is finished cleaning your house up, don't you know that it is so squeaky clean? And what happens is that on the outside, some folks still see the evidence of the sin that you committed. But what I want you to know, on the inside, you are cleaner than snow. And now that you are clean, now the Holy Spirit can come dwell in us, because we now have an inheritance. The inheritance that we have is that we have eternal life, which means that when we leave this place, we're going up to heaven. And since we know we're going up to heaven, what the Father's got to do is give us the evidence of what it's going to be like when we get to heaven by giving us a taste, by allowing the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Oh, that's it.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Let me help you understand. While we was on vacation, we walked into this one place that had a pastry shop. And when you walked into the pastry shop, Reverend Flippin, the first thing the person did was took a toothpick, took something and threw it at your face and said, here, taste this. Why did they do that? They wanted to give you a taste. Right? With the expectation that once you're going to want some. And guess what? My wife and my aunt both bought stuff and they left. You know, I wasn't buying it because, you know, I don't do the sweet stuff. But the whole thing was is that it worked. Once they had to have. Don't you know that the Holy Spirit is the. Oh, sorry. I thought y'all was with me. I thought y'all were with me. I thought all of y'all were. Anybody ever go to the mall? And you know, well, I don't know if it happens as much as it used to. But I remember going to the mall and you go through the food court. And you'd have all them places out there. And then when you got close to one of the, a particular place, the first thing they did was took a toothpick, handed you here and said, hey, taste. Why did they want you to taste it? Because they figured that once you had a, you wouldn't buy from nobody else, but you would buy from. Because it. So, don't you know that what the Father wants you and I to know? That no matter how toe up you might look on the outside, that once you accept Jesus Christ on the inside, Sister Davis, he cleans your house up so on the inside to let you know he got something in store for you. You got something to look forward to. And we don't understand what that is. He said, well, let me give you a. And what he sends down to us is the. To let you and I know that we have been marked with the. So we understand that God is allowing a little bit of heaven to be here on earth and dwell inside of us. So that when we leave this place, we know where we're going. We don't have to live a life in despair. We don't have to live a life of fear. But we live a life of joy, a life of excitement. Because we know when I leave this place, I got a better place waiting for me. Because I've already got a. So y'all following me now? You're understanding them. We got to understand that the Holy Spirit is the evidence that God's got something left for us. And it's something bigger than what we already got. But we'll never know it until we first hear. Are y'all working with me? Are you working with me? But what I want us to understand is that we are, I've been marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. So when folk look at you, the evidence that God is the head of your life should be all because you have been what? With the, because you still might look the same. But I want you to know you ain't nothing the same about you except how you look. Because when the Lord changes you on the, it's going to come to the, and it all happens because of God's Holy that dwells in. And since it's inside of us, because it's in something clean, because the Spirit can't hang out in nothing that is. You see, I want us to see and realize that you and I have been marked with this seal. And the Holy Spirit is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption. And guess what? We are God's own people. Do you see that right there? You're God's. Now that you know who He is, you are somebody. For the longest time, you've been walking around thinking you are. I know you holy now, but you ain't always been. There was a time you were nobody. You were so messed up, but I'm so God glad that I am now somebody. Because I'm now one of God's own. And you know what happens? The Holy Spirit is the evidence of letting you and I know that we are no longer stuck in what we've done wrong. Because God sends His Spirit in us to let us know that our lives have now been changed. Our lives are no longer the same. We are now a new creation. Old things have been. Behold, all things have become. So why do we still walk around thinking that we can't do anything? Don't you know when you got the evidence of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, greater is He that is in than he that is in the. So why are you still walking around defeated and depleted and think you can't do anything? I'm here to tell you today, you are marked with the seal. And since you are marked with the seal, you are marked to do great things. God didn't give you the seal so you can sit around and just get happy about it. God has given you the seal to let you know you've been marked to do what? Great things. Because you are now living your life to glorify the one who took you from a nothing and made something out of you. Do I got any something out of you folk in here? Do I got somebody in here who knows if it had not been for the Lord, I don't know where I would be. The Lord has done something in me that I couldn't do in myself. Do I got anybody in God's house who understands just how good our God is? That He's done something inside of you. If you know He's done something inside of you, you ought to give Him some praise right now. You ought to thank Him right now. Because you ain't lost no more. You have now been found. I tell you, we serve a mighty good God. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? When we think about all that God has done for us, I don't know how we ever can sit in church and act like it ain't no big deal. That, Lord, I'm just here because I'm supposed to be here because it's Sunday. But if that's your attitude, you got to go on and rethink that thing. Because you understand that those of us who understand, we realize that we know how messed up our house was. We thought our house was set up and there was a label on it saying demolish it. But I'm glad, Sister Rose, that before that big wrecking ball can come and knock our house down, don't you know the Lord came and touched us? Don't you know the Lord came and blocked it? It was coming trying to knock you down, but the Lord came and blocked it. You see, that by itself ought to excite us, because some folk thought they had given up on us a long time ago. Thought we would never be nothing. Thought we'd never go nowhere. But look at us now. Look at what God has done. Because I have been marked with the seal. of his. And you know what that says? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I ain't dirty. I'm clean. You know how you know you're clean? Because the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit is inside of you. That spirit is guiding you. That spirit is equipping you. That spirit is leading you. Have you ever felt yourself being in a situation where you thought you was about to pluck somebody or have to tell somebody something or do something, but something inside of you just wouldn't let you do it? That was nothing but God's Holy Spirit. Have you ever been in a situation where folk didn't know what they would thought you was about to lose it all because of this happening and because of that happening? Folk thought you would be a wreck, but when they stepped and they saw you with a smile on your face. They thought you was crazy, but what they don't realize, there is something inside of you that gives you a joy that the world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. It's a joy that is unspeakable. It is a joy that is so great. It'll make you shout. It'll make you thank God in the midst of your tears. But you ain't crying because you are weary. You're not crying because you are hurting. Those are called tears of joy. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit on the... I have been marked with the seal of the... I've been marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit.